This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, October 6, 2008.
Okay. All right, we're going to start the meeting.
Meeting is officially called to order at 5:38. As usual, I was actually telling my colleague DeAndre that I would feel awkward that we don't go around the room and introduce everyone, but there's so many of us that it would be a complete waste of time. So what has been done in the past is there's always an introduction of the officers. So I just wanted to mention that so you all know that, you know, I'm conscious of that. But I'm Mario Guerrero. I'm Executive Vice President, and this is...
I'm DeAndre Rose. I'm Vice President of Operations.
And we're going to start with open forum. Does anyone have anything to talk about besides what's on the agenda? Any announcements? Anything at all? Do you want to mention the newspaper? Okay. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move to executive updates. So, DeAndre, if we could start.
All right. Well, I just want to, first of all, thank everyone who has applied to university committees. GPSA has made a large number of appointments in the last few weeks. And we have a few more spots left. So hopefully you guys saw the small sheets on the back table. If you did not get one, please be sure to pick yours up because these spots are going fast. I guess, you know, it'll kind of segue into the latter part of my executive update, but we're looking for help on a few more committees, particularly the Campus Life Advisory Board and the Slope Day Programming Board, among others. So there's a really neat website where the link is on this little sheet, and I hope you'll check it out today. And if you do not see the committee of interest, on the drop-down menu, please just type in the committee that you want to, or committees that you want to apply for which you want to apply, in the opening box. I also wanted to mention that in the last few weeks, I have had the opportunity to sit or to work with a group here on campus that's working for the President's Climate Neutrality Project. And it's a really informal group, and they're really looking for grad input and ideas on how to get grad students more involved in the big plan. So if you have any questions or would be interested in neutrality issues, please do come see me. Mike Walsh will be talking more about the general project a little later today.
Okay. And before I give my report, I have to apologize to Brian. I'd like to entertain a motion to move Brian's Advocacy Committee report up.
So moved.
Second.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Great. Brian, if you could give us your report, please.
Thank you. I believe early, so I'm speaking now. Just a few things that have been going on with the student advocacy group. First, if you remember, at our last meeting, I presented that the advocacy group was a combination of both grad students who applied to be on our committee, as well as graduate students serving on other advocacy-related committees. So in discussions with the executive board, those committee members were asked to serve on the advocacy committee. They include the University Healthcare Service, UA Transportation Advisory Committee, Child Care, Council for Alcohol and Other Drugs, Council on Mental Health and Welfare, Financial Aid Review, and Family Services. And I'm happy to report that all of those graduate students serving on those committees have expressed interest to join student advocacy. Second, you received an email from me a while back about the advocacy's meeting with Gannett, so I encourage you to go on and check that email that was sent out a while ago. Basically, the advocacy meeting committee met with Gannett just to discuss what the options are for Geneva students as far as healthcare and health insurance. And to make a long story short, they are considered in area, so they have the exact same benefits as we do. So if they are in Ithaca, they can come to Gannett and pay the $10 fee, or they can go to a Aetna provider outside of Gannett and pay $20 copay, the same copay you would pay if you went outside of Gannett in the Ithaca area. So I encourage you to take a look at what was sent out. And if you have any comments for us, we are planning a second meeting with Gannett. I encourage you to contact either myself or any of the other advocacy members. Two other things I wanted to mention. First, mental health. One of our advocacy members, Betsy Romero, met with the Council for Mental Health Committee today. So I haven't heard from her yet, so hopefully we can find out what they're planning to do as far as improving mental health services for graduate students. And finally, last time I mentioned, or Bryony mentioned, a contact sheet that we were preparing for graduate students and professional students. Basically, quick little thing, you know, if you have this issue, you speak to this person, that sort of thing. And a draft went out. The advocacy committee is meeting this Thursday. We're meeting at 5 o'clock in 163 Day Hall. So if any of you have any would like to come, we'd be more than happy to hear whatever issues you would like to bring up to the advocacy committee, or if you have any comments on what we've already been working on, the healthcare for the Geneva students, the contact sheet, mental health, and also Mario's going to be presenting what he's been working on with the alcohol and drug committee. I'll take any questions if anyone has any. Yes?
So it's a $20 copay.
Yes.
You said that was in the Ithaca area?
That's in area outside of Gannett.
So does that include Geneva?
Yes. So they're basically considered in Ithaca area. So as I said earlier, I do have to leave, but if you have any questions at the end, I encourage you to speak to either Jay or Mario. They're both members of the advocacy committee, and they'll be happy to take your questions.
And when he says Mario, he means Mario over here. My left.
You can ask this Mario.
You can ask me too, but I just want to make sure you all know.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. I'm going to resume with the agenda, and I'm going to give my update. In terms of the GPSA info, we'll be having our first meeting this coming Thursday. And I guess I wanted to specifically ask this group, in particular the law students, the vet students, and the professional students, if you really feel that there is, when in the GPSA, in writing the GPSA info, and this is a small issue, but when we say graduates, does that speak to you, or do you feel that we need to add and professional students? And the reason I'm asking, and it may be silly, but there was a discussion with those that I shared that prior to sending it, and the thing is, when I see graduates, I see myself included in that, but and that's why I sent it out with graduate students. But I want to hear, should we add the and professional? Go ahead. So include and professional. Okay. 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 Well, then we'll start including it just so that everyone feels included. Okay. Thanks. The second point, in the last GPSA info that was sent out, we had mentioned an event coming up. It's called Into the Streets. Many of you are that are second years or at least in your second years have heard of this. It's a day where you go out into the community and provide service, whether it's helping to clean up or paint a building or any kind of community service. And, you know, I just wanted to bring it up whether, in case anyone in this group wants to do something in particular, if the events chair, Kate, if you want to organize something around that. At the same time, I realize that because we, you know, we're from all the various fields, a lot of the fields themselves are putting something together. But I wanted to make sure that I highlighted it and that it was at least taken into consideration at the next events committee meeting. The third thing that I wanted to mention is that I proposed to our president an ad hoc committee to review our charter. This was something that I had mentioned last year, and it's something that I really want to pursue this year. Last year there were a couple of charter amendments, changes, one of them being that I'm forgetting the old name of the advocacy committee, but it was like pay and benefits committee. There was also the change of the secretary being changed to vice president of operations. And so my comments back then were, well, you know, we've been making some piecemeal changes, but I think there's nowhere in our charter that says we need to review our policies on a, you know, every 2 years, every 3 years. And so I want to make sure that our charter reflects that, reflects the changing times, and that we're still able to you know, better serve our constituents, which is ourselves and our graduate students in general. So I bring it up here, although this is not really the forum that it will take place, but I mention it here because it's really important for me that field reps are involved in that. And so at the next assembly meeting, which I think will be maybe 2 weeks from now, but there's a list of the meetings on the table to my left, we're gonna form that committee. And if you're a core member and would like to be involved in that, you know, please attend that meeting. If you're not able to attend that meeting, you know, send us an email and we'll make sure to include you. But some of the things that some people have identified through the course of this year already are, for example, the budget. Our budget, the assembly's budget, that it's not anywhere in the charter, for example, that we should include revenues, like, for example, the revenues that come in from the grad ball, that there's no timeline in terms of when we need to have it and approved, and then it doesn't address spending issues. The structure, again, I mentioned the changes to the name of the secretary to vice president of operations, and that there's no, again, regular timeline to review the charter. So these and others, I think it's time that we take a look at it and really improve on it to, again, better reflect that we're doing work for our graduate school. So if you're interested, at the next assembly meeting, this is when we'll take it up. Two other really quick things. There's a sign-in sheet that's going around. Please fill it out. And there's also a core sheet. It includes the assembly and the field reps. If you can make sure on the core sheet that it has your specific correct information, I would greatly appreciate it. And then one last thing. Via email, Brian and I started working on a very small miniature issue, but that I wanted to bring up for a particular reason. A graduate student emailed complaining that that they're not able to get the New York Times, I think it is, and the USA Today, and that the dispensing machines actually say undergrad, some of them, not all of them, say undergraduate students only. So we're starting to look at that issue, and, you know, we'll come back after we talk to the Office of Assemblies. Amy already knows about it. I've outreached to my counterpart on the undergrads. Thank you. Yeah. Hey. And but the reason I bring it up, it's a minute issue, but the reason I bring it up is because that's what I'm hoping will happen from this body. You know, you all are field reps. You interact with other students day to day with your program. If you see things that are pertinent to other grad students, please, you know, come ready to discuss them, bring up issues. If there's something that you want to place on the agenda, you're more than welcome to email us in advance, and maybe we could even have a discussion before that. I just really want to make sure that we're, you know, bringing ideas. Don't be afraid to bring ideas to the table, things that we can look at, again, to better represent our constituency. So that's the end of my report. Does anybody have any questions on any of the issues that I brought up? Great. Okay, then we're going to move to back to committee reports. Kate? Yeah. Does anybody have any questions for Kate? Okay, great. We're going to move on to external community committee reports. Ed, did you want to go ahead and... Does anyone have any questions for Ed? Ed, I was going to just suggest that if you can please either send me the link, and I don't know if you've already sent this to me, and I apologize if you have, but if you could send me the information in terms of the deadline or the link, we'll include it in the next GPSA info. And also, I would entertain, resolution in particular with the issue about the salary cap. I don't know if that's something that you have thought about, but it sounds like it could be a resolution item. Well, if you need help or...
Yeah.
Okay, great. Any other questions, Red? Okay, we're going to move on to Mike on the President's Climate Neutrality Committee. And I sent out a document, the document he forwarded to me. I only have... Amy made a few copies, so if some of you want the full copy, please raise your hand and I'll give it to you. But, Mike, do you want to start chatting?
Improve Cornell energy to lower our reliance.
First of all, congratulations on finishing a document that was on scope and actually has a method to actually build off of it and be used in the future. But I had a couple of questions on some of the different aspects of it. For like the electricity usage, you account for probably the water treatment plant that is on Cornell's campus. But the water treatment plant. But you do not account for the wastewater treatment plant that would be jointly used by all the municipal resources in Ithaca. Do you intend to expand the scope in the future, or are you just using this as a baseline?
Yeah, the development of the inventory is a pretty big challenge. We have to get
required.
Is there any other questions? The only thing I was going to add is, I probably will say often throughout these meetings, if you can send me the information on the two meetings, I'll include them in GPSA info. Okay, if there are no other questions, then we're going to move on to our presentation by Richard Kiley. He's to my left over here. He's from the Center for Teaching Excellence, and he's going to talk to us about the new center.
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Mario, for inviting me. Said I'm Richard Kiley, and I'm the Director of TA Development. We also have some people that work with me here. This is one of them. If you want more information, you can probably be much more articulate than I am about what we do at the Center for Teaching Excellence. What I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about, is everyone here familiar with Brenda Wicks and her position? Pretty much the Assistant Dean for Grad Student Life, and one of the, I think she's still the advisor.
Yep, she often comes around. She's just not here today.
I used to be in her position when the GCI was just being developed. And so I was somewhat involved in that as an advisor with GPSA. And when I took my position at the Center for Teaching Excellence, I was really hoping that we could also support the GCI, GSI-GCI, with the Center for Teaching Excellence. The Center for Teaching Excellence opened in July 1st, and it has three program areas. One for faculty support, and then two other areas that specifically affect graduate students, the International Teaching Assistant Development Program, ITADP, and then the Teaching Assistant Development Program, which I run. There are three directors, and there's a couple of things that we're embarking on as a center, not just in those program areas, that would, I think, complement, supplement, support the grad community initiative. And one of the programs we're thinking about that I think you should all might be interested in is a Master Teaching Certificate program, which any graduate student could be involved in, take a series of courses, workshops, get some faculty mentorship, develop a portfolio, and have on your transcript recognition that you've completed this program, which we can hopefully support those of you that are interested in career paths around teaching and academia. That's one area. The other area where we're very concerned about is mentorship, grad-to-grad mentorship, and then also faculty-to-graduate-student mentorship, particularly around professional development and career. And that's an area that was highlighted, both of those areas actually were highlighted in the GCI, so document. I reread it last night. And I'm looking for feedback from you and involvement in helping us make these programs successful. And I wanted to make sure that you're aware that we're kind of thinking about this right now. You may see some surveys or some requests for people to be more involved in helping us think through this program. The Master Teaching Program, we'd like to connect with every college. And so it'll probably have sort of a central, decentralized flavor to it. We'll probably have to tailor the program in tiers so that it relates to specific college initiatives. So it's a longer term vision. And then the mentorship model, we're working with the graduate school and thinking about what kind of programming that we might do. And then the last thing is I'm working with Brenda and the GCI committee to think about career services. And I think the Center for Teaching Excellence has a role in that. I'm just not sure what. And I really actually can't speak to that because we haven't really gone through our visioning process, which we'll be doing in the next couple of weeks. But that will also be a key component of something that we'd like to support. And I'm sure there are other things that we could support that you care deeply about in terms of supporting graduate students while they're here. And if there's anything that you think would be a great idea that we should be thinking about, you know, you could send me an email. I'm at RCK6. If you want to be more involved in helping us think about some of this programming, please contact me. I'd love to hear from you. One of the hardest things for a center is to get to know all the different needs and concerns of each of the colleges and the fields. There are just a few fields at Cornell. So, you know, if you could help educate me a little bit more about graduate student needs in terms of TAs, mentorship, career services, that would be really helpful because I think those are three very specific areas that we could address through the Center for Teaching Excellence. we're so new, our identity is just emerging. So help us define it. You know, I think that would be wonderful.
And part of the email that I sent out earlier that had the meeting agenda, it also had list of future events, and I think that list is over on the left. I think Amy printed it out as well. But does anyone have any questions for Richard? Any comments?
So Richard, what kind of role do you see the center playing in terms of mentorship? Because it's one of the things that in my time here I've seen is lacking pretty distinctly. So if people are having conflicts or whatnot.
Well, there are two things in particular, and I guess I appreciate Mario mentioning the workshop. Right now we do have specific programming and we haven't waited. We're continuing on with sort of a building on a former Center for Learning and Teaching. So we still do workshops. And we just created a course. It's on syllabus design. So if you're interested, it's going to be offered this fall, actually. It happened that quickly. But two of the things, the reason why I mentioned that is one way is we can do some workshops that are related to mentorship and to help people think about mentorship and to bring faculty to panels and brown bag types of lunch series types of things. So that kind of programming. The other thing, though, is specifically most of the master teaching programs at peer institutions or in institutions where they have fairly robust master teaching certificates, there's a faculty mentorship piece. And so when I was talking about tailoring it to specific colleges, in order for us to have a really robust, I think, master teaching certificate program, is you'd have to get faculty buy-in from specific colleges that care deeply about professional development and sort of champion the program in their college. And so as part of this program, we'd have a faculty advisory board as well as graduate students, and then they would be faculty mentors. And so if the student was participating in the program, they have to go through the program with a faculty mentor who would evaluate their portfolio, their teaching, and so on. So that's another way to have a faculty, a stronger relationship with faculty around professional development. Because right now, that would ensure that it's intentional. Right now, it's sort of like if you get a pretty decent faculty chair or advisor, then it happens. You know, someone who's actually thought about it and it's not busy. But this would actually, they have to commit to going through the process with the student, however that's defined. So those are two very specific things. One, workshops, courses, and another, and that could be grad to grad or faculty to grad or grad to faculty or grad to undergrad. And then the other is this master teaching program. Hopefully that
Thank you.
It's really important. I know when I had Brenda Wick's position, I had worked with a doctoral student to do a benchmarking some research on mentoring programs at a number of peer institutions. And then during the Ivy Summit, I went to the Ivy Summit, which was in Dartmouth that year, and we had a specific workshop around faculty mentorship model at Dartmouth. And so we were going to run with a publication at the time. And I guess that's been put on hold, which I think is actually a good thing, to make sure everybody's on the same page about what constitutes a successful mentorship program at Cornell. And there were a lot of questions around what was the content of the publication, the way it was framed, the format, and so on. So I think it's good now that there's more conversation going on rather than just rolling something out. So but I think in the future there'll probably be some sort of publication. At a former institution, I did workshops on how to be not a faculty mentor, but a faculty advisor with doctoral students. And so to help faculty understand the advising process and what constitutes a robust advising process, so how to prepare students for scholarly publication, to do a conference presentation, those are the kinds of things that we could also do around mentorship.
Any other questions, comments? I know I had asked you about master students because I had the whole question of, well, do master students then also teach? And the answer was yes, but maybe at a JC. So how would this program, I know we talked about it, but just so that my colleagues know, how would this program, address that, master students?
Yeah, I think, it'd just be in terms of just broadening it out, allowing them to participate. Like right now, any graduate student at any level can participate in the workshops or the courses. In terms of teaching, that's a good question. I'm not sure how that would play out. I think it would be specific to colleges, once we get more feedback on how it might support master students and at what level they might participate. One of the things that Mariano and I talked about is One thing that's kind of emerging as we're looking at different programs is a tiered model. So everybody's kind of busy. So maybe some students want to do the full program, right? Take all the courses, the workshops, get faculty mentorship, portfolio, and so on. But then other students might want to just do a course and a couple of workshops, and we'd have different tiers, and that might fit a master's student who's not here, you know, for 5, 6, 7, hopefully not longer than that, years.
So. Well, last comment, if you can, when it is time to have the forums where you need feedback, if you
yes.
want to email me, I can not only announce it here, but also send it out in GPSA info and let students know about it so they can participate.
Yeah, that would be, actually, thanks again, Mario, for mentioning that. We will put together a brief survey, probably like SurveyMonkey or something, and getting your feedback would be key to some of the support around this programming. So, yes.
I was wondering, those workshops look very nice and interesting, and if, you know, there was a group of students who would be interested but couldn't make it, or had some sort of field-specific, you know, grad student society, could they just contact you and ask you to do a workshop with them? Or
yeah, actually, we do work with specific colleges, so, and again, you know, it's part of just getting the word out, and we're just now putting our website together, but consultations with groups of students definitely fits our... you know, what we offer in terms of services. So, yes. That's, and we'd like to hear from you and want to make sure that people can go to these workshops. So, in fact, I'd prefer if we actually had a group of students who we would like a workshop in this. Because I know, as Chris knows, you just sort of get students sign up randomly and you don't really, you're not sure how developmental it is. And one of the things we're working toward is a developmental process. So you can take a series of workshops and feel like you've gone from here and now you've built up your skills in a certain direction. It's really hard to document that. If it's just sort of with students randomly, you do an evaluation, but it really doesn't show the development. So if we had a cohort or, you know, a group of students in a specific field, it's a lot easier to measure that.
Any other questions, comments? Great. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, and that brings us to the end of our meeting. So I would like to, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay? Nobody, huh? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned at 6:22. Thank you, everybody.
Oh,
yeah, very early.
That's a record.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.